These are the Ten Commandments. You already know the fourth one is remember the Sabbath day, because you already know that one, right? What I'd like to do is, this is from the King James translation. I'd like to share those and have them to be responsive reading, so that I will begin with the first and you the second, and we continue through all Ten Commandments in responsive fashion. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Remember every Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Honor thy father and thy mother.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Thou shalt not steal.
Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Thou shalt not covet.
And then Jesus had a confrontation with some of the religious leaders about how to keep the Sabbath holy. Our reading is from Mark Gospel.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" A reading of the Word.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, your Word is a light unto our feet, lamp unto our path. And by it, you guide and direct us. May your word shine brightly in our hearts and in our proclamation of your word, that we might indeed be your people this and every day. Amen. One of my favorite hymns, one of my favorite movies. By favorite, I mean I've seen it more than twice. If I've seen it more than twice, that's one of my favorite movies. One of my favorite movies is that 1981 movie that won Best Picture. Have any of you ever watched Chariots of Fire? Raise your hand if you watched it. Several. If you haven't raised your hand, you have missed one great movie. The reason I watched it was because my younger sister said to me that it was the best movie she had ever seen. The best? Yes, she said. It's the best. It's a wonderful story. If you remember the movie or the play, there are these two young men, one at Cambridge, one at Edinburgh. They're athletes, and they're both training for the 1924 Olympics in Paris. They're both sprinters. They both make the Olympic team, and they go to France to run. And they know that the 100 meters will be run on a Sunday. Well, the one in Edinburgh is the son of missionaries to China. He was born in China and grew up in his earliest years learning to speak fluent Chinese. And like his missionary parents, he decided to be a missionary too and went to boarding school in Scotland and then Edinburgh for his university work. The boy could run. He was a great athlete in more than just way, one way, actually. He was captain of the cricket team and captain of the rugby team. And in the 100 meters, he set a new British record that held for 23 years. Can you imagine? That lad could run. But when they got to the Olympics in Paris, he refused to run the 100 meter race because it was on a Sabbath and he did not train, nor did he compete on the Sunday Sabbath. The Prince of Wales tries to change his mind, tries to appeal to his patriotism, tries to appeal to how the whole of the British Empire is counting on him to run the 100 meters, but he will not run. It's the Sabbath. He does not run on the Sabbath. Well, as the movie shows, there's another race that he is able to enter. It's not his best race. It's the 400 meters. He does not have the record for the 400 meters. But he agrees to race in the 400 meters. And what a race. And he wins the gold. And he and his partner, the Cambridge runner, won the 100 meters. His name was Eric Little. And they both went back to Britain as national heroes. When he decided not to run the 100 meters on a Sunday, it made news that went into the papers all over the world. It was his personal decision. That's how he decided that he would keep the Sabbath day holy. Now, not all of us would agree that that would be our personal way to keep the Sabbath holy. Each of us will have to find our way to keep the commandment. And we will not all come out at the same place. Keeping the commandment was difficult in Jesus' day because they had overlaid it with so many rules, so many obligations. You couldn't do this, you couldn't do that, you couldn't do this. And people had all of these rules. They never knew whether they were breaking the commandments or not. There were so many things they had to do to keep it, so many overlaid laws. And so Jesus, of course, gets in conflict with his contemporaries. What does he do? Well, he allows his disciples to pluck corn. Well, you can't do that on the Sabbath. And even worse than that, he heals on the Sabbath day. And this just about drove the religious leaders crazy. That's breaking the Sabbath. And then Jesus had to explain to them, the Sabbath was not made for people. People were made for the Sabbath. Did I get that mixed up? The Sabbath was not made, I got it mixed up, didn't I? You know what I mean. In other words, the Sabbath is a gift. The Sabbath was made for us. That's what it was. The Sabbath was made for us. It's a gift. It's a blessing. And through this blessing, we understand so much better what it means to be fully human. We understand what it means for life to flourish. This commandment, as all of the commandments are ways in which we understand better what it means to flourish in God's world. These are gifts. The Sabbath is a gift. Another one of my favorite movies is Fiddler on the Roof. You may have seen that. I've seen that more than twice. And I love that part where the Papa, is getting ready for the evening beginning of the Sabbath. And as he moves through the village and as people talk to each other, they keep saying to each other, "Good Sabbath." And the answer would be, "Good Sabbath." And that's repeated on several times, and it's like something wonderful is about to happen here. Something not to be missed. And so the Papa gathers his family around the Sabbath table, and they light these candles, and he sings in behalf of his children. "May the Lord protect and defend you," he sings to his children. "May the Lord preserve you from pain. Favor them, O God, with happiness and peace. O hear our Sabbath prayer." I'm so jealous that we don't have something as rich as that in our tradition. Something that calls us together in a way that is life-changing and renewing and blessing. Helps us to see better what it means to flourish in God's world. Another story that about keeping the Sabbath from another Jewish story, that there was a mother who was having to say goodbye to her son. It was during the war, and the soldiers were coming, and they were having to depart. They had break apart and leave one another, this young boy. And as he is about to leave, she places her hands on his face and says to him, "Child, remember, you are a Jew." And then the final thing she says to him, words that may be the last words that she will ever say to him. What would they be? A final, final goodbye. What would she want him to remember? Her final words. And she says to him, "Keep the Sabbath. As long as he is able to keep the Sabbath, he will know his identity. He will know who he is. He will understand better what God has in mind and in store for his life." One of the Psalms, the psalmist must have been thinking about the fourth commandment when he wrote, "You get up early in the morning and you work late until night." For the toil of anxious bread. It sounds so contemporary. It sounds like people I know. get up early in the morning and get in the car and commute to work, and there's an accident, and so there's a 2-hour delay, and so it's 2 hours just getting from house to office. And then in the afternoon when he gets off, he decides to take another route home, and it's construction. And there's another 2-hour delay, and by the time he gets home and gets something to eat, it's time to go to bed, and the whole day is given to toil, anxious toil, anxious bread. That bread doesn't sustain us. That bread is not good for us. We have been made for something higher and greater and larger than that. And it is by keeping the Sabbath holy that we are renewed in understanding of who we are, what we are made for. What is life supposed to be like if it's not supposed to be like anxious toil and bread? What is it supposed to be for? Something happens to us when we keep the Sabbath holy. We begin to see what life is supposed to be like, what life is supposed to be for. When we keep the Sabbath, we are able to disconnect from those voices and those things that call us to a life that is not filled. It is not fulfilling. It is not thriving. All of these idols that would pass before us, what should we say to them? These idols that pass before us say, if you only had this, you would really be able to live. If you only had this trophy, if you only had this promotion, if you only had this accomplishment, if you only had these things. And the addictions, they just never stop. It's just, we have to have one thing after another, and that doesn't satisfy. And so we go on to the next, and the next, and the next. It's addictive. Someone said that what we are diseased about today is hurry sickness. We don't know what we need, we don't know what we want, and so it's hurry, hurry, hurry to the next thing, to the next challenge, to the next accomplishment, to the next need, to the next promotion. Sabbath calls us to the real world. I'm always interested when people say, well, you can't live this way in the real world. But the real world is God's world. Everything else is unreal. Life is in God. It's not going to be found outside of that. God is the creator and the author and the giver and the blesser of life. And outside of God's blessing and presence, it's something else. And so the real world is the world of Sabbath. What happens to us when we experience Sabbath? We experience the fact that our worth is not in a trophy case. That our value is not dependent upon how much is in the stock portfolio of our lives, how much wealth and accumulation that we have. There was a happiness study done a number of years ago. The happiness study is the longest study that has ever been done in American history. The question that they were interested in knowing or finding out was, what does it mean to be happy? What are the ingredients to a happy life? And so they chose a group of undergraduates at Harvard University in 1938. John F. Kennedy was one of those students that was chosen. And they followed these young men and eventually their families until they reached their 80s. They were questionnaires, there were visits, there were doctor visits, there were all kinds of data that was piled together over all of that years for the question, what is a happy life? And you could have given them the answer free. Happy life, they decided, was connection. That people find fulfillment in their connections. Connections of family, connections of community, connections of church, connections of friendship, that is in the connecting with one another that we find our deepest and most lasting joy. Sabbath helps us to see these things. Sabbath is these moments when we see what's real. We experience again the blessing. Two writers were together. Both of them very famous. If I told you their names, you would recognize them. Financially, I'm sure both of them were very well off. And they had been invited to a party at a person's house who was extremely wealthy. It was a mansion, the kind of house that you just only see in magazines. It was massive with all kinds of things. And they were looking around, looking at all the opulence, all the wealth. And one of the writers said to the other, you know, the man who owns this house probably makes more in a month than you do in a whole year. And the other writer said, yes, that's probably true. But I have something I doubt that he has. What's that? He asks. And his answer was, enough. I have enough. Sabbath helps us to see that. The reason we have enough is because we focus on Sabbath not on what we want, but on the blessings and the praise and the thanksgiving for what we have. We fill ourselves with the knowledge and the blessings of all of the ways that God is working in our lives. Our life is a miracle of love and grace, and all of the goodness and the forgiveness and the blessings and the guidance. All that God gives and continues to flow into our lives. Filled with that, we have enough. And we praise God for that. How you keep Sabbath? How do you keep Sabbath? Well, we could all give our ways. Let me just throw out some things that people do. They're all holy. We praise God on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, we're content just to be. No competitions. No comparing ourselves to somebody else. No, that's not Sabbatarian at all. On the Sabbath, we give thanks for what we have. We take walks. Creation, what a gift. Take it all in and to look and to say, God, it's so beautiful. That's a Sabbath moment. We sleep, we take naps. A restful afternoon, falling asleep in God's presence. We eat. We celebrate food. When I was a boy growing up, it was fried chicken every Sunday. My dad did the chicken. My mother wasn't as good at chicken in the pan as my father. And I would always come at the right moment and we would split the gizzard before the meal. And we would sit down, mashed potatoes and fried chicken and green beans and some kind of pie for dessert. We eat. It's a Sabbath moment, celebrating God's good gifts. And here's something you probably were not told. Sabbath is for lovers. Sabbath is a day to make love. My Sunday school teachers never told me that, but you need to know. It's part of God's gift to you. And in the Sabbath experience, we are strengthened, blessed. We identify what is most important in my life. So I say to you, for this day and for all the days ahead, dear friend, good Sabbath to you. Good Sabbath. Let us pray. Well, God, your gifts are all good, and you are good all the time. Thank you for the marvelous gift of this and every Sabbath day. May our lives be renewed. May we know who we are. May we forever praise your name. For we lift up our prayers in the name of Christ. Amen.